Many politicians are in the habit of laying it down as a self-evident proposition that no people ought to be free till they are fit to use their freedom. The maxim is worthy of the fool in the old story who resolved not to go into the water until he had learned to swim. And this week's opening quote comes from Thomas Macaulay. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. Imagine the type of mind that ever thought to say that no people ought to be free until they are fit to use their freedom. I mean, it really does make you wonder, folks, and these are the type of people that have designated themselves to be the rulers of this world. The self-styled rulers of the world are those who believe they have the right to rule the world because they simply believe they have things right and that they just know better than everybody else and that everybody else can't possibly have the intelligence that they have, and so therefore no one ought to be free until they are able to be free under the standards that are set by these people. And of course that freedom will be a certain modicum of freedom as long as you don't step on the grass of the people who make the rules. Very interesting concept of freedom indeed. But the mere idea that that freedom should be controlled by somebody else and that people must be in some way judged worthy before they are fit to be free is a very, very telling statement for someone to have made. And it's a very disturbing trend of what this system is attempting to impose upon mankind and has been actually quite gradually imposing it upon mankind for a good many years now. It's just that that power is now getting consolidated. And it really is, folks. It's been consolidated right across the planet. There are so many steps being taken now to lock the people down. And it's really being done in a very insidious and very secretive manner, and it's being done while people are distracted for the most part and looking elsewhere. Many people are worried about the future. Many people are concerned with the problems that we have, but they're not really looking in the right direction. They're not seeing where the real problems are coming from, and they're not seeing what the solutions to these problems are. In fact, many people, when they look at this system and look at the society and look at the whole control grid that's being built around us, they simply can't see a way out. But I believe that there is a way out. But of course, the way out lies within the hearts of the people, and they have to be prepared to act, and that is the real problem that we face. But there really is a lot going on at the moment, folks, and there's a lot of things being slipped in under the carpet while people just really are not paying attention. People have got their head down rabbit holes, and people are looking for the storm. But unfortunately, for the most part, they're looking in the wrong direction. That's the thing about the people who control this system, folks. They're very, very good at distracting the populace. They're very good at waving the right hand in front of you while people aren't noticing what the left hand is doing. They're extremely good at distracting people, folks. They even get me. They do. They get me sometimes. They distract me. They send me down a rabbit hole and they fool me into believing something, and meanwhile they're doing something else on the side. And it's a constant thing. You've got to be aware of this all the time. It's important to be aware that all major global events are staged, and they're staged for a reason. Everything happens for a purpose, folks. There's nothing that happens on this world that happens by mistake. Not anything major, anyway. And in attempting to deal with this new world order, we've got to look at all the possibilities. We've got to look at all the mechanisms they can use to roll it out and all the possibilities of how it's going to be rolled out. But again, it's important that we look at the bigger picture and don't allow ourselves to be distracted. There's been so many people waiting for martial law to be introduced. So many people waiting for a financial crash. And all of the pieces are there for a financial crash to happen. But will it happen? That's another question. Maybe they just put all the pieces there so that we will start crying wolf. And then, again, people don't believe you when you start to bring the real information to them. You know, when you find out what the truth is and you bring it to them, They don't believe you because they've been so used to so many people telling them the world is about to collapse and the sky is falling for so many years now that people just don't know what to believe. But like I've often said, folks, if you really want to know what's going on, you've got to follow the money. You've got to realize that the world is run via the economic system. Everything we do is about supporting the economic model, all of it. I've been speaking about this for 8 years on the air now, folks. It's via the economic system that the control grid is being rolled out. Because this is something people are just not taking into account. People are not taking the economic system into their calculations when they look at the problems that we face and when they look at the solutions and the way out of this situation. And they don't realize how controlled they are via the economic model. And yes, all of the pieces are in place for a major economic crash to happen and for Jade Helm to pick up the pieces. But because it's right there in your face and because it's so obvious, I really don't think it's going to happen. I really don't. For a little while there, I did. I thought there may be a major economic meltdown in September this year. But I don't think it's going to be as bad as I first thought it was. I think a lot of it is a distraction. I think there's stuff going on behind the scenes that is far more important than what's going on with Jade Helm. I think Jade Helm is merely what it pretends to be, and that is an exercise. It's an exercise in seeing how an AI-controlled task force or AI-controlled militarized police force would function, and how it would operate, how the commands would work, how the people would react to it, how the soldiers would react to it. I think it's a test to see how things may play out in the future, but I don't think it's going to come to fruition this year. The thing is, when they control you via the economic model the way they do and the way they are consolidating things, they don't really need to lock the country down into a police state. They don't need to microchip you. They don't need to lock people into FEMA camps and do all the things that people have been in fear of them doing. And of course, you've got to understand that the people that are constructing this control grid, they're kind of making it up as they go along as well. I mean, they're probably trying things along the way and seeing what works and seeing what the reaction is and basically figuring things out as they go along, the same as everybody else does. But what they're doing now is they're consolidating the economic model via the smart system, the smart grid, smart appliances, smart phones, smart refrigerators, smart washing machines, smart everything, by digitizing currency, wanting to remove paper currency, remove cash from the equation, get everybody locked into a digital virtual world. And they've done a pretty good job of that already. I mean, people are half locked into this world now, so they don't really have far to go to lock people into it completely. And they can do it all through the fear of terrorism, through the fear of all of these wars, through the fear of people transferring funds around to illegal entities that may be supporting terrorism, and all the rubbish they can cook up. All they've got to do is control the mindset of the people and keep people in fear of their freedom, and people will willingly give their freedom away, as they have done so many times in the past. So it's really not hard to put all the pieces in place and to construct the type of scenario that's going to be very beneficial for the economic model. And once they've got everybody locked into this smart system and everybody locked into this smart grid, well, they don't need to microchip you, folks. They don't need to declare martial law. All they have to do is switch you off. And they can switch you off in the virtual world, which will switch off your access to all amenities, all resources, all finances. Means you won't be able to pay your rent or buy food or do anything because all the currency will be digitized. So they don't need to microchip you. They can control you via the economic model. All they have to do is collect information on your habits, which they've been doing via monitoring people's credit card activity and through things such as social media, Facebook, people having GPSs in their mobile phones so they can track them everywhere they go. They can track all the purchases people make. They model your search engine habits, you know, what you're typing into search engines, so they can monitor what type of person you are. They can read your emails. They can see what you're up to. So they can get a profile on everybody. That's been a big reason why the internet has come out. I mean, the internet's been a huge boon to our lives in many ways, but it's also provided the powers that believe they be with a massive data pool, a massive pool of information whereby they can monitor the habits of virtually everybody, because most people operate within a virtual world. I mean, admittedly, not everybody, but a lot of people do. Most people do a lot of activity online these days. Most people have mobile phones. Most people shop with credit cards. And via these mechanisms, they are able to gain a comprehensive data sheet on just about everybody. If you add social media to the equation, well, they've got just about everything they need to know about everybody. And they can switch this on or off once they digitize the whole thing. And once you've got smart appliances in your house and your house is hooked up to a smart electrical grid, then the sky's the limit as far as the powers that believe they be are concerned, as far as those who control the control grid are concerned. They basically got you by the short and curly strokes. They can do basically anything they want. And at that point, they don't need to microchip you. They don't need to lock the country down in martial law or anything like that. They can control you through the technology that you have become subservient to. This is what technocracy is all about. This is what the technocratic system that Brzezinski and so many people have talked about for so many years is all about. It's about controlling you via the technology that controls the economic system. But it's all done through economics. It's all done through that model. It's all done via the mistaken belief that money is actually real, and the perceived state of scarcity that that belief creates. Now, I've been speaking to you about this for years, folks, how the economic system that we support is in fact a system of debt slavery, how it's used to control our lives and to prevent us from accessing the abundance of the world. But when you realize what that system has the potential to become, if it's taken out of the real world and put into the virtual world, i.e. if everything becomes digitized and smart, then you really begin to see how controlling this system can be. And again, it's an interesting thing because when you put it in a virtual world, it becomes even more fictional than it already is because, of course, it's a fictional system. Anyway, the whole system of debt slavery that we live our lives by is in fact a paper-based reality that is entirely fictional. We made the whole thing up. But now it's being moved to a digital realm, and it's going to be even more fictional because it just exists in the virtual world. But the fact that we are all now locked into the virtual world via the technology we use means that we are all very, very trackable. In fact, every single movement that you make is trackable. And people may look at this and say, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, then why should you worry about being tracked? Well, it's because what they do when they track you is they gain a psychological profile and a physical profile on you, on all your habits, what you eat, what you watch, what you wear, where you go, what your sexual preferences are, what your family ties are, who your friends are, what you're talking about, the places that you go, the places you visit, how much money you're spending, what you're spending it on. And so they can monitor every single cent you make, and they can make sure you're spending it in the right places. They can make sure you're not making any money on the side or any profit on the side, and they can make sure that you're towing the government line in every single way. And the AI will take care of it all. You know, if you're late on your electricity bill or you haven't paid a parking fine, it will automatically deduct something else from your life. You won't have a question. You won't have a say in the matter. If you're simply late for something, there'll be no human compassion in anything. You know, often if we're late for a bill, we can talk to our real estate agent or our electrical company or whatever, and we can get an extension. They'll understand because they're human beings. But when it's AI, there is no understanding. There is no compassion. Everything is done by the book. The whole system becomes completely about balancing the numbers. That's what it's about, folks. It completely eliminates all humanity from any aspect of the system that controls humanity. And that's the danger of the technotronic era and the technotronic system that they are attempting to bring in. That's the danger of technocracy, folks, is that it will take over your lives and it will remove all human empathy from any human situation, and any human empathy from any decisions that are made regarding human beings. And this spells a very, very dangerous future for all of us. if we allow ourselves to continue down this technocratic, technological, transhumanist pathway. And of course, one of the real dangers in this is that people have been led down this technotronic pathway without having any real choice in the matter. We're just having the smart grid rolled out in front of us. Everything is becoming smart, smartphones, smart fridges, smart everything. And if the government simply makes a decision that it wants to digitize currency and remove cash from the equation, then it will simply do so, and people will have to go along with it. They won't have any real choice in the matter unless we can band together as a united community and stand up as one voice. That's really the only way we can make a difference in any of these situations, folks. We have to do it with a strong communal response to what the government is doing. Otherwise, this smart grid will simply be rolled out and there will be nothing that we can do to stop it. And it's being rolled out as we speak, folks. In fact, it's already well on the way. The scary part, of course, is that most people are quite happy for it to be rolled out because most people see it as a new mod con, a fantastic new convenient way for us to run our lives. And most people have no problem with this because they cannot really see the amount of control that comes with such a grid. And of course, there is the old adage of, if you're not doing anything wrong, then why should you have anything to fear about living in a surveillance society? Especially if that surveillance society has been created to protect you. But really, folks, the question is, do we really need protecting from ourselves? Because what the surveillance society is protecting us from is terrorism. And really, all of the terrorism is the result of actions that are undertaken by government themselves. Most terrorist events are staged, and if they're not staged, then they're done by some group of extremists who has been pushed to the limit by the economic model because they're sick of the state of scarcity that they're forced to live in, or perhaps sick of the way their family has been brutalized by the West, and so they do silly things as a response. And it's no surprise that they do. In fact, when I look at what we've done to the Middle East, folks, for example, when I look at what the West has done to the Middle East, I think these people have showed an incredible amount of restraint in their lack of terrorist activities against the West, because all of the major terrorist activity that we see that is blamed on factions that exist within the Middle East are actually factions that have been created by the West in order to shape Western opinion of what's really going on in the Middle East, but most of it is actually contrived by the West. So when you see the effect this has upon the mindset of the population within the West, then it's no wonder that many people are quite happy for the surveillance society to be rolled out, and they're quite happy for their life to become more convenient than it already is. In fact, in Australia, they ran a poll recently, and the poll results showed that a massive 25% of Australians were okay with being microchipped because they thought it would be more convenient to have everything stored on a chip in their arm, which shows the level of programming and the level of mind control and just how brainwashed and fluoridated the Australian people are. And if that is any indication of what is going on in the rest of the world, then we certainly have quite a large battle ahead of us in attempting to wake these people up to reality. But you've also got to look at the validity of these polls, of course, when they call them, folks, because what do they do when they call a poll? They say, oh, yes, 25% of the Australian population thinks we should be microchipped, but how did they get those results? Usually you find that they interviewed 1,000 people randomly on the street around the country, and 25% of those 1,000 people decided that they would be okay with being microchipped. But you don't know. They might have been interviewing people that were coming out of some IT conference. You just have no idea how they conduct these polls. So you can't really put a lot of faith in them, but it is an interesting result. And of course, a lot of the reason for these polls is to also sway public opinion, because it makes you think that there's actually a lot of people that are supporting an idea when there's only a few people supporting it, because you never know where they did the poll. It helps shape public consensus, folks, because if the public believes that more people believe in something than what actually do, then it helps them believe in it as well, because they think, well, everybody else is doing it, so I may as well do it as well. And then it gets to a point where if you don't think this way, you become someone who isn't quite normal, who thinks outside of the box, and therefore may possibly be a threat to society because you're a little bit different to everybody else, and so you get ostracized. And this is how they shape public opinion, by simply saying, well, look, the polls say we should do this, and so everybody thinks they should go along with it because they believe it's what everybody else is doing, when it's rarely the case for such things to be true. So I just thought I'd throw that in, but even so, it is an interesting statistic. But it's a very effective mechanism that's used by the system in order to shape public opinion, folks. It's simply controlling what people believe is true and the, well, everybody knows attitude that many people get. This is what has been used very extensively in the 9/11 investigations, for example. You talk to people on the street about 9/11 and you ask them who they thought it was who carried out the attacks, and most people say, well, everybody knows that it was Osama bin Laden. But you don't ask them how everybody knows. And you find that everybody only knows that it was Osama bin Laden because the media told them that it was. But they've never actually seen any proof that has stood to back up that claim. And of course, they've never seen any proof because there is no proof that Osama bin Laden had anything to do with the 9/11 attacks. And most people's defense against that statement is simply saying, well, look, that's just ridiculous because everybody knows that he did. It's kind of like the Emperor's New Clothes syndrome, folks, where people are too scared to think outside of the box or speak outside of the box because they're scared of what others may think, and also because of cognitive dissonance, because it's too much of a challenge to their reality to imagine that the United States government and perhaps other governments that were helping them along the way, which would of course be the Israeli government, who I would suggest actually had more to do with the attacks than the American government, people cannot believe that this would be done, that people who they think are friendly would actually not be friendly and would carry out an attack against their own citizens in order to start a major war. This is just too much for many people to bear, but the fact is that that is exactly what happened, and the uncomfortable truth is that this is a methodology that has been used again and again and again over history, and has been confirmed to have been used again and again and again. The problem is that people view history as something that they're not participating in. They're viewing history as something that was. Well, back in those old days, people used to do bad things, but our government is more responsible now, and we know about all these bad things that they did back then, so there isn't any possibility that our governments would still be doing the same thing that they've been doing for hundreds and hundreds of years. But the uncomfortable truth, folks, is that they are. That most of the terrorism around this world is manufactured, and it is staged, and it is staged to bring about a certain chain of events which will lead to a certain result. And so far they've been very successful, but unfortunately they've woken many people up along the way, and fortunately for us we have the internet, and so we're able to share that information. Even though the internet is being used to track us and to basically expose and get data sheets on all the dissidents around the world, it's also serving as a means of uniting a lot of people and of getting information out to a lot of people. The problem is that there's also a lot of disinformation in the alternate media, as one would expect there to be, because of course the powers that believe they be seek to control the alternate media so they can make sure the waters are nice and muddied for people. But we do have a particular advantage at the moment, folks, in as much as we do have the means to connect and unite with each other, and we have what is right on our side. We have our hearts in the right places. And whether that seems like some New Age hippie talk or not, I still believe that it does make a difference. And I really mean that, folks. I really do. And ultimately, I think that is a large part of what is wrong with the alternative media, is many people don't have their hearts in the right places. Many people get angry, they get quite insulting to others. And look, I've been guilty of it too. I get sucked into fights online in chat text. But it's very hard to debate anybody in chat in a text form because you can't convey emotion in chat. And so you're very often taken the wrong way. Messages are misconstrued. Frustration can be misconstrued as insult or anger when really it isn't. And you can't really have a human experience in a text chat. You have to talk to people. And what we see in the alternative media is so many people attacking so many other people that they've never met and never actually spoken to. Very often it's just been in text chat, and very often we see people who disagree with other people's opinion suddenly labeling them as government agents. This really, really annoys me, folks. How anybody who has a view that other people don't accept is automatically labelled a government agent by people. And I would suggest that most of the people who do this labelling are either government agents themselves or they're simply running programs, because you can't do this. You can't be in this alternate movement and actually believe you're out there making a difference and doing serious research if one of your byproducts is creating division, because division is our greatest enemy and has led to all of the problems that we face. And what people have to do, I really believe, is to be honest, to be quite honest and brutally blunt about it, they need to get over themselves. They really do. They really need to realize that we don't know anything. Nobody really knows anything. All people can do is speculate and offer an opinion on whatever information that they've managed to look at. And that's what we can do. They can offer a perspective on what the information is that they've looked at and what their conclusions are on that information. But people who offer you absolute solid conclusions on topics are usually disinformation, or they're usually caught up in their own ego. I mean, sure, we can offer you conclusive proof that the Trilateral Commission is doing all sorts of sordid things. We can offer you conclusive proof that the Bilderbergers are doing all sorts of things. There's some things we can offer you conclusive proof of. But in regard to major issues that people tend to get a concrete opinion of and then vilify anybody who speaks out with a different opinion and label them as a government agent, these people need to get over themselves, because ultimately all we've got is speculation of others, books to read, documents to read, none of which we seriously know the validity of, and we've got to operate with a certain amount of nous in what we do and a certain amount of unbiased in what we do. We can't come to these foregone conclusions and then look for texts and documents to back them up, which is what many people unfortunately do. So I think we've got to be sensible about this. We've got to stop this division that exists so rampant throughout the alternative media. We've got to put all our differences aside and start getting a little bit of common focus and find some remedy to this situation while we still have time to do it. But I think we've reached break time here, folks. I'll leave it there for now. We're going to have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, so our strength really is in unity, folks. It really is. If we can unify the public in a cohesive, concise manner and with a cohesive, concise response and focus, then we can make a difference. But we've got to see what's really coming down. We've got to look at what this control grid really is. We've got to stop sitting there listening to conspiracy theorists and running down rabbit holes and wondering about all this stuff we can never prove and waiting for martial law and waiting for a financial crash and waiting for all this stuff to happen. See, that's what everybody's doing. Everybody's waiting for something to happen. You know, we've been talking about this for years. We've been sitting here talking about the fact that they're rolling out this police state, that they've got all these FEMA camps, that they're doing this and they're doing that, and still nobody's done anything. Everybody's just sitting there waiting for it to happen. I mean, sure, there are many people in the alternative media who are speaking out. There are many people who are doing activism work. But what's really being done on the ground, a lot of the people out there who are listening to the alternative media are just doing that. They're just listening, and they're not really doing much else. And we need to start uniting together and banding together and creating a cohesive response to this situation. That's what we need to do. You know, we've been talking about it for so long. We've been waiting for something to come down for so long. But even while we're waiting for something to come down, we're still participating in the system, and we're still participating in building our own prison. And when I say we're still participating in the system, I'm not suggesting that you burn your driver's license and lose your name and do all this stuff and walk into the lion's den. I'm simply saying you've got to see what the system is. It's far more than a birth certificate. It's far more than you using your name. It's the fact that you use money. That is the problem. And of course, you have to use money because we live in a debt-based society, which is run on money. The money system is the glue that holds it all together. It's the fact that you use money, and it's the fact that all the appliances and everything in your life is being digitized along with the money. And you are being charged for the use of all these everyday appliances that you normally use in your life. You'll be charged for the use of your refrigerator, charged for the use of your stove, charged for turning a light on, charge for the use of your CD player, charge for the use of your television, charge for the use of your blender. And you might be sitting there saying, well, hang on, we're getting charged for it anyway. It's called an electricity bill. But it's different, folks. You get a supply hooked up to your house, and it's metered, and you use whatever the meter says. But with this smart grid, they can choose which appliances are more energy efficient and which ones aren't, and you can be marked on your energy rating. You can be marked on this and marked on that. And when it's all credits and it's all trade-offs, cap and trade and all this sort of stuff, when they start applying this to individuals, then you start seeing where this is going. And they can turn your life on and off at any point. Doesn't matter whether you have a name or not. If you use technology of any kind, then you're going to be in trouble. And when all of the money is digitized, then you're not going to help but have to use technology. You may say, well, I live in a society where I don't use credit cards. I'm one who doesn't use credit cards. I never buy anything on a card. I don't use plastic money at all. Well, I suppose I do because I live in Australia and the money itself in Australia is plastic. So let me make that clear. But I don't use credit. I don't buy things on cards. I always use cash. But you won't be able to do that under this system. And when the whole grid is all linked up together and all of the appliances are smart appliances, and possibly if we are microchipped or whether we're not, it's not really going to make a difference. But if we are, then they'll be able to measure off your units of work every day that you've done, and they'll be able to use this as a trade-off against how much electricity you're allowed to have, and all sorts of things. I mean, the sky is the limit with this type of control grid, folks, if they put it in place. And that's what people aren't paying attention to. You know, we're sitting here waiting for all these terrible things to happen, and we can't realize that a terrible thing is happening right now around us simply via the technology that we're using. And there's nothing wrong with technology. Technology's great. It's been a huge boon to our lives. The problem with technology, however, is who controls the technology. Because when technology is controlled by very few people who have nefarious objectives at heart, then it spells a very dangerous time for the rest of humanity. And when you see this and you see what this control grid will be and you see how everything is being linked up together under the pretext of making things more convenient for you, then you can see exactly where this is going and exactly what this control grid will be. And the most effective thing you can do to support the construction of this control grid and to support the powers that be in their actions is to fight amongst yourselves about topics which mean completely nothing because they're not relevant to this control grid that is being rolled out. People simply can't see it. And sure, many topics may be relevant, but they're all relevant to this control grid because all of the problems we face are all financially based, they're all economically based, they're all because of this control grid, they're because of the economic model and the way it is structured and the way it is being controlled, the artificial scarcity that it creates, and that is the problem. And it's even this economic system and the political system that supports it, which is the reason for all the mysteries to exist on Earth and all the rabbit holes to exist on Earth. And when you realize this, then you begin to see where the focus needs to be. And if we do not get over ourselves and turn our attention where it needs to be, then we're going to be allowing ourselves to be led into the proverbial lion's den. And that's exactly what's happening, folks. We are having this technocratic system roll out around us because we're participating in it. And more importantly, we're not really noticing what these new conveniences that are being introduced to our lives are really all about and what they're really doing and where it's all really going. Because we're looking externally. We're looking for this big militarized hand to come down. And we're looking for a financial crash. We're looking for all these things to happen. And we're not paying attention to what is happening right around us right now because we're all fighting amongst each other. And so I think we need to get some focus, my friends. That's what we really need to do. We've really got to look at this for what it is. We've got to see what is coming down, how it is coming down, what this new world order actually is. And as I said earlier, it is a technocratic system controlled by AI, where the good guys and the bad guys will be designated to the computer and it will simply do what's necessary. The police on the ground will simply get the orders, whatever the orders are, from the AI. They'll be told that there is a faction in this building or this neighborhood or whatever that is doing bad things that needs to be taken out, and they won't ask any questions. They'll go into the area and they'll protect their buddies while they take these bad people down because that's what they're trained to do. And it's the same with the military. They don't really know what they're doing in all of these war zones, folks. All they're doing is protecting their buddies while they take down the designated target. And they don't know what the target is. They don't know what it's about. They don't know who they're fighting for or what the outcome will be. They're simply doing what the orders from Central Command told them to do. And when that Central Command is an AI, then there will be no humanity in the equation. There will be no empathy in the equation. And things will just go the way they are programmed to go. And everybody will be trackable, and they'll know where everybody is because everybody's got their GPSs on them, their mobile phones, and everybody's details are all there. They can switch off anybody's money and passport at will once they've made everything digital and put chips in everything, and that's the way it's going. Welcome to the smart grid. Welcome to the technocratic dictatorship that will be run by the banking cartels and the Trilateral Commission, who control the whole thing at the top. And that's where we're going, folks. And so I think it's time that people began to pay a little bit of attention to this and began to maybe readjust their habits and their social habits and their shopping habits and readjust their focus of where the real problems are and what the real solutions to these problems may be. And I say that with absolute earnest, folks, because there are solutions to these problems. There really are. Because really, what we've got here, regardless of everything that they're doing, everything that they say, what we've got here is, as I've said many, many times, it's a paper-based reality. It's a fictional world that's been created by megalomaniacs at the top who believe that their way is the only way and that anybody who disagrees with them is simply unworthy. But they think this way because they're psychopaths, folks. It's a psychopathic system that is seeking to control all others. And it seeks to justify that control by demonstrating to mankind themselves that it's a mindless rabble. Look, you can't trust the people. Look what would happen if we left the people to their own devices. There's so much crime. There's so much bloodshed. There's so much hardship, homelessness. You simply would not be capable of managing yourselves at all. And it's best if you're managed by the bankers. That's the way they feel. And that's the way they think. But they do that because they've got people believing that the money system is real, and they never explain to people what creates all of the problems that they are outlining, because what creates those problems is the money system itself. That is the heart of the matter, folks. That is what creates the artificial scarcity, which causes people to war with each other. It causes people to compete with each other. It causes people to vie for position and to expel vast amounts of humanity along the way. It gives people a false vision of what success is and how they should measure themselves. It removes everything it can from the human experience. It moves all creative potential from the human experience because it limits that creative potential to people's financial ability to realize their dreams. And it keeps people in check by limiting the amount of access they have to the abundance that is all around them. It creates a social hierarchy whereby people measure themselves by the size of their front door and the amount of digits they have in the bank, how much jewelry they can buy their wife, and what sort of a car they drive. We judge entire countries in this way. We look at the third world, we view these as lesser people who just really haven't got things together, rather than seeing that they are people who have been exploited by those who control the financial system, because those who control the financial system have brought a new reality to these tribal cultures all around the world, and they've talked them into believing this reality and believing in what can be achieved through this reality, and thereby created the third world by exploiting these people because they've introduced an unfamiliar system to them, and it's a stacked deck whereby he who supplies the money holds all the cards. And that's really how we have to look at things, folks. That's why there's really no remedy from within the parameters of this system. The best we can do with this system is use what we can of it against itself in a manner that will wake up the man on the street in a language he can understand. And of course, this is what we are attempting to do with the Full Circle Project. And we have started the Full Circle Project, and the project has taken on the focus that it's taken, because after careful discussion with many people, we have all banded together and realized that this focus is needed. And this common focus and this common unity and this cohesive action and this need to link the people up together is what is going to make a difference. And that's why we have constructed the Full Circle Project in the manner in which we have constructed it. And that's why it's important that people get involved, because with all the problems that we face, folks, we've talked about them and talked about them and talked about them for years on end. And still, with all this talk, as I stated earlier, what we've basically done is we've sit around and waited for this big controlling hand to be locked down around us, or for some saviour to appear, some knight in shining armour, someone in the alternative media to stand up and suddenly change the world for us. But very often people have failed to participate themselves. And what it's going to take to bring about some real change on this earth is the participation of the people. The problem up to this point has been motivating people into wanting to participate. And that's all we hope to do with the Full Circle Project. I believe, and many people that I've spoken to believe, that a lot of the reason people don't participate in trying to bring about some positive change is because they feel alone in their attempts. They feel like they can't make a difference. They feel like there's no support around them. And even when they do find some people around them who at least agree with their ideas, they don't really know how to move it forward. They don't know how to push it forward. So that's another thing that we've got there on the Full Circle Project, is the templates, the circles of five that you can use to form your local action group. And you can make the focus on whatever it is that you believe is important to your local community or empower your local community, and you can make that your focus. All we're asking is that when you form this group, you make sure the action that your group takes is directed in the right area, and that would be towards the person sitting in the office who wrote the legislation who created the hardship you are attempting to address. And we do this with all the organizations and all the different groups addressing all the different problems, and so we formulate a spearhead approach, which is a sharp, pointed approach focused directly towards the heart of the matter, but it's coming from all directions, so it's cohesive, but it's not any type of one leader or one point that can be taken down. It may all focus on the same point, but it isn't a movement that has a leader that can be taken down. It's simply a mechanism and a platform that we can use to create these action groups, link them up together, and all focus our attention on this spearhead approach from within our own communities. And if we do that, we will make a difference. But again, people have to be willing to participate in this, because it can't be done without the numbers participating. It can't be done without the people. Nobody can free you if you are not prepared to stand up and at least work towards that freedom yourself. That's why we have to get people focused and we have to get them motivated. And I think that what we've created with this website is a tool that will motivate people, and it will demonstrate to them that there are people around the world who want to help. There are people who want to get involved, and we just have to spread the word that this project is actually up and running and that people can join up to this and link up together and create their groups and get the focus they need and the support they need from the community at large, and they can push the matter forward. And if we all do this, folks, we're going to see some real change come about on this planet pretty quickly. But again, it needs the participation of the people. We've got to have this focus, or we've got to have the motivation, and that's what we're hoping to do with this website, is provide that motivation for people. But it needs your help as well. I mean, you can go and link up to this website and you can spread the word. And if you've got some action group and something that you're doing in your community, if you've got a permaculture group, if you've got whatever group, whether it's a fracking group or a whaling group or whatever the problem is that you're addressing, you can sign up and log on to this website and you can link these groups up with other action groups, and we can all get the same cohesive, coordinated focal point to the problems that we're addressing. We can all bring it under the one umbrella, and we can at last create a global movement that is all of these separate factions that have no leader but are all coordinated and cohesive in their actions and their approach. We do this, folks, and we'll be a force to be reckoned with. The powers that believe they be will not be able to do anything to stop such a groundswell of motivated people who are all directing their focus in the same direction. They're not going to be able to do anything about it, and it's going to spread like wildfire once people choose to get involved. So please do get involved, folks. Go to the website and sign up. The website is fullcircleproject.net. Get involved, and we can make a difference. We really can. And we've got to do something, folks. We've got to find a way of coordinating people. We've got to find a way of empowering people and linking people up together. We've got to find a way of being able to coordinate our response, and it needs to be a global response. It needs to be a response that comes from all countries and all peoples and everybody who wants to make a difference. And we've got the tools and the mechanism now to do it, so please do get involved. The gloves have got to come off, folks. They really do. We can't resist this anymore. We've got to respond to what's happening. We've got to take the bull by the horns. We've got to realize that what we're dealing with here is just people. I've said this so often. You know, it doesn't matter how strong this controlling hand thinks it is. Ultimately, it's just people, and we don't have to go along with what they tell us we have to do. In fact, it's just the opposite. And if we can find a way of uniting our communities, we can bring this reality back into balance a little bit, because things are certainly way out of balance at the moment. But ultimately, folks, it's got to come down to the hearts of the people. And I know I have said this on so many shows, but with everything that we're facing, that really is the only way out. And when you look at the state of the world, I mean, it's been valiant, all the efforts that people have taken throughout the alternative media, all the research people have done, all the effort people have gone to expose the controlling hand. It's been a valiant effort that the free man movement has undertaken to expose the legal fiction for what it is. But ultimately, none of it is going to be effective under a technocratic rule. You might want to lose the name, and that's fine. You want to lose the name, that's fine. You lose the name. But if the money is all digitized, then you won't have a plastic card with your name on it, which means you won't be able to access any digital credits, which means you won't be able to use any shops or buy anything. And you can have all the money you want at that point. You can have all the cash you desire. But if no one will accept your cash and it suddenly becomes worthless paper, which is what it actually is already, then it's not really going to do you much good. So none of the remedies that people believe they've found are going to work under a technocratic rule. And we have so many remedies to our situation, folks. We have permaculture. We have the concept of the Vedic communities, the kin domains, as outlined in the Anastasia books. We have so many ways we could do things properly. But we don't have access to freedom. We don't have access to abundance. We don't have access to the real wealth and resources of this planet, which is the planet itself, because we're constrained by the economic system in all that we do. Even if you want to go and set up an alternate community somewhere, you're still constrained by the economic model, because you've got to buy the land. Even though you'll never own it, you've got to buy it and pretend that you own it anyway. And there are so many things that constrain us, but ultimately it's all to do with economics. Like I said on last week's show, if you wanted to go out in space, or you want to go and explore the South Pole, or you want to go and fulfill your dream in any way, there's always an economic barrier preventing you from doing so. But if we were able to pool our resources in a cooperative manner, and when I say pool our resources, I mean pool our intelligence, pool our consciousness, pool our creative potential, then the sky's the limit. We could do just about anything we wanted to do. And we wouldn't have to pay for resources, because everybody would want to be involved. Everybody would be excited at the new project, and everyone would supply what was needed to be supplied to make the project work. Because we were a cooperative species, and we live and operate in a cooperative manner. And that's the way we could do things. We wouldn't need money for anything if we hadn't been taught that money is necessary. And that's the problem. But whatever the solution is, whatever the remedy is to our situation, that is what constrains us at the moment, is the financial barrier between us and what we believe freedom to be. So what we've got to do is unite the community. We've got to unite the community into one outspoken voice, which is going to stand up and call reality for what it is. And that's really the only way out. People have to step into their hearts. You know, it's often been said that if you change the internal world, you can change the external world. But people forget that it's done through application. There's no good changing the internal world and then sitting there in a narcissistic state of meditation and high vibration thinking you're making a difference. What you've got to do is change the inner world and then apply that new understanding to the external world by changing the way you interact with people and doing the right thing in all that you do. And if all society did that, we'd change the world in a single day. And I've said that so many times on the air, you're probably sick of hearing me say it, but the fact of the matter is that it's true. If we change the inner world and then apply it to the world around us, then we don't have to change anything else. the world will have to change around us. It'll be an organic thing. And even if there are still psychopaths in the world who still continue to carry out their nefarious acts, we will simply overcome them because we have the strength of numbers. And once we have the strength of those numbers, you're going to find that there's many lower-level police officers and politicians, and you're going to find that there's a lot of good people that still exist in these organizations, and that they're going to break ranks and they're going to stand with the people. But the people have to show that they are responsible enough to warrant the help of these police officers and military and politicians. They have to show the intelligence and the understanding in humanity and reality to be able to stand up and call things for what they are in a concise and non-aggressive manner. I mean, that's why I do the shows in such a calm manner, folks. I can call things for what they are. I can get incredibly angry with some of the topics that I cover, but I don't ever do what I do out of hatred. I do what I do because it needs to be done, and I can understand that the people who are doing these nefarious acts are, for the most part, programmed into their actions. It's like hating all Jews because of the actions of Israel, and you can't do it, folks. The Israeli people are programmed into their actions, and the real problem is the money cartels and banking cartels that control Israel. It's not the Jewish people at all. It's not even Israel. It's those who control Israel, and Israel is being puppeteered as much as anybody else, so it does no good hating these people, and it's the same for every other situation that we can really find on the planet, folks. Mostly, the people are doing what they are doing because they are programmed by the beliefs of somebody else, or they're programmed by the psychopaths at the top, or they're simply driven to it via the economic model that they've been forced to suffer. So we've really got to step back and look at things from a clearer perspective before we judge the actions of anybody, folks. We can't just make blanket statements about what's going on in the world. We can't make blanket statements about any race, creed or color or any country, not even Israel. We've got to really step back and examine things for what they are and really look for what the remedy may be, because the remedy exists somewhere in the human psyche, folks, and ultimately most people's actions are the result of programming, and they simply know not what they do. And once you fully realize this and you see the truth of it, then it becomes very, very difficult to judge people or to call out anybody for being wrong, because, hey, what do I know? What do they know? What does anybody know? We only know what we've had access to see and experience and how we have assimilated the information and the conclusions that we've come to. But to say that we actually know anything, well, that's a very, very foolish thing to do, folks, because the only thing you really know is yourself, and sometimes, well, we don't even know that. And that, of course, is one of the major obstacles that we need to overcome. And that's what we're doing, folks. I think that's what we're all working on, and that's the direction that we're going. And once we do overcome that obstacle, I think we're going to find that we can overcome the many others along the way. But it's all part of the process, isn't it? It's all a process. But we can do it, and this is the time we can do it. In fact, this is one of the most important times in human history. I really believe that. I think that this is the time we can make a difference, and I think that we will, if we can unite in a cohesive, coordinated response. And that's what we hope to do with Full Circle Project. So please, again, please do get involved with the Full Circle Project. Again, the website is fullcircleproject.net, and you will find everything you need to know there. And, of course, my website is thecrowhouse.com, and I'd like to thank everybody and anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website. They really are far between, folks. I really, really could do with some help. I hate to keep asking, but I really could do with some. So please do throw a few coins in the bucket if you can, and thank you to anybody who has. But that is it for me, folks. I'm now completely out of time. It's been a pleasure speaking to you on the air today. I do love coming on and talking to you, and I will look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then, and do not stress, and do not lose heart, and do not feel ineffective, and do not believe that you are not making a difference and you can't make a difference, because you can, you are, and you do. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you again today. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Stay safe and stay positive, and I'll speak to you then. In Lakesh.